This podcast is brought to you by Boomer Naturals Face Coverings. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the Boomer Naturals Face Covering banner. At checkout, put in code HowieCar20 and save 20%. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Live to Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood, where protesters are set up outside the East Precinct for the 13th day.
What's your thought about the fact that the protesters have taken that over and not allowing people to come and go freely?
Well, that's news to me, so I'll have to reserve any comment about it.
And what is Aleppo? You're kidding. No.
I have not heard anything about that. Any credible source.
Edward 90, that appears to be in the new Republic of Capitol Hill. They can handle that.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
The East Precinct, it was the flagship of the Seattle Police Department, and it has now been taken away from them.
What role does a police force play in your ideal conception of what a safe public would look like?
That would be like a nirvana, a utopia.
You're robbed on vacation. You have no cash, no credit cards, nothing. What'll you do? What will you do?
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
All men and women created by go. You know the thing.
The Constitution says all men and women are created equal.
You know, the rapidly rising I'm beginning to get bored by my own talk here.
Unchained and unstoppable.
We're going to be starting our rallies. The first one we believe will be probably, we're just starting to call up, will be in Oklahoma. We're going to be coming into Florida, do a big one in Florida, big one in Texas. We're going to Arizona. We're going to North Carolina.
We're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington.
Yeah! Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Cruel and unusual punishment. That's what they would call cutting off internet access inside Chaz. All right. A violation of the Eighth Amendment to the United States Constitution. So I wanted to play a cut here. This is from yesterday's meeting of the Governor's Council. That's the group that rubber stamps, basically, approves judges, clerk magistrates, et cetera, that kind of stuff. They haven't been meeting at the State House. They've been meeting virtually. And so Karen Polito still has to go in and chair the meeting as the lieutenant governor. And a couple of weeks ago, after her party was exposed, she violated the rules that she was setting down for everybody else, she was asked about it by Counselor Marilyn Petito Devaney.
Is there anything else you'd like to add today before we close out our assembly?
Yes, Lieutenant Governor, this is Marilyn again. I'm talking on behalf of my friends who have children who are graduating from high school. So they have asked me to ask you, will they be able to have graduation parties for the children in any form, a way, barbecue or whatever? They're very confused, getting mixed messages. So I'm asking you now if you can, so that I can tell them.
Okay.
And she had no answer to it. So yesterday, Marilyn was again at the governor's council meeting by phone, and she's just lost her sister. Her sister's named Grace, and she died at a nursing home in, I think, West Newton of COVID. And so, of course, Maryland is naturally very, very mournful. She's grieving, and they couldn't have a funeral. They couldn't have a mass. They couldn't have a wake. They couldn't embrace at the graveside. And she's got another sister, elderly sister, who is in assisted living, and she's doing okay. But I think she came down with it and is recovering. And so, of course, like everybody else, Marilyn. This governor's counselor, Marilyn Petito Devaney, knows that most of the fatalities in this state are in nursing homes which are the most heavily regulated industry in the state. And yet the politicians never talk about it because they get all this money. Baker gets got $52,000. Polito got $32,000. DeLeo, the speaker, got $47,000, and it goes down from there to all the leadership. The president of the Senate, Spilka, got tens of thousands. The Ways and Means chairmen in both branches, the House and the Senate, Michalowicz and Rodericks, got tens of thousands. And so they're not talking about the nursing homes. So Maryland tries to ask a legitimate question, I think, of Karen Polito at the beginning of the meeting about the nursing homes. And just listen to her question, and you can hear the emotion in her voice, and just listen to how Polito just brushes it aside. And again, this is where 60%+ of the people are dying, and Polito has no response to it. And after we play this cut, we're going to play Polito lecturing everybody yet again on how they have to toe the line if they want the state to reopen. But this is Marilyn Petito Devaney.
Lieutenant Governor, if I may, as a point of personal privilege, this is Marilyn. Can I just say, there's got to be a change. There's got to be protection for people in nursing homes and in veterans' homes. My sister was in a small nursing home. 20 other people got it. You know, we have all these precautions going into a store. We have arrows there. We have the cleaning. They're cleaning the buses. What about the people who die alone? They die alone in the nursing homes. So I am pleading with the governor to oversee the nursing homes, veterans homes, assisted living. My sister Alice from assisted living is recovering from coronavirus. This should not happen.
Thank you, Marilyn. I'd ask Councilor Duff to lead us in a prayer and a pledge today.
Thank you, Marilyn. That's a response. She says, why aren't you doing something about the nursing homes? And that's all she says is, thank you, Marilyn. But by God, she's got plenty to say about grants for road building. Listen, this was today and at the press conference, Cut 17.
This is like the restaurant in your downtown or your main street that you might see opening now with outdoor dining in a parking lot or in a parklet or using sidewalks. These funds will be directly available for a municipality to help these businesses create more comfortable and exciting spaces in your community so that people can get out safely and enjoy the offerings at their local establishments. Some of these projects will help calm roadways, modify sidewalks or streets, and repurpose on or off-street parking where needed to better support curbside, sidewalk, and street retail and dining. Other projects will create safe connections to essential destinations and workplaces, including new and expanded facilities for bus transportation, putting in flex posts, and creating a bike lane.
Creating bike lanes and exciting spaces. How about some exciting spaces in the nursing homes where you don't die because the state does some regulating? The state wants to regulate the exciting spaces and calm the roadways and provide exciting dining experiences next to a dumpster in a parking lot. But they have no answer for what to do about nursing homes.
She doesn't
even bother to try to answer it.
Which task force or subcommittee came up with this grant system? You know what people really like to eat next to? Construction zones. It's perfect.
You know, as it gets hotter too, you know, it's really nice. I prefer to eat on the black asphalt or the tar, you know, because it sucks in even more heat than just dining on a concrete sidewalk. You know, we can get it up to 110 or 120 on that asphalt, where you might only get it to 100 on the sidewalk, right?
Who needs live music when you have jackhammers?
But she has no answer to what to do about the nursing homes. That's why I asked Azar about it. I mean, how do they get away with it? Why do so few people ask them about what's going on there? They get a total pass. And they just, and again, I keep coming back to this. This is the same state government that gave you, well, Holyoke Soldiers Home, the Mass State Police, the Registry of Motor Vehicles, the Department of Children and Families, the state chemistry labs, where they had to throw out 38,000 criminal cases because the chemists were either ingesting or falsifying the evidence. And now, and now we're supposed to think they can reimagine, what is it, exciting spaces on the sidewalk. It just makes me ill. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's Howie Carr.
Hi, this is John in the People's Republic of Amherst, Massachusetts.
This is Heather from Litchfield, Maine.
This is Kent, Wichita, Kansas, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Experience the amazing benefits of Superbeets. Get a free 30-day supply, free shipping, and free nitric oxide strips to test your nitric oxide levels with your first purchase when you visit www.superbeetsradio.com/Howie. That's www.superbeatsradio.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will the residents of Chaz be evicted by the end of this weekend?
No, I don't think so.
66% say no.
Someone just tweeted me that they have found the Warlords, Roz Simone, the aspiring rapper's old tweets. I have a feeling we're in for a tweet treat as those things come to light.
The ones I've found so far are not fit for air.
Really?
Really.
Will you ship them down so I can take a look at them anyway and see what I can do with them?
I did notice about maybe an hour ago he posted that his Twitter was hacked by somebody in New Jersey. I'm not sure if
that
was legit or
not. Oh, no. Are these the time-traveling hackers again that took out, what's her name, Joy Reid?
It seems like it.
Oh, they've struck again. Boy, time travel really screws things up for these for these warlords, doesn't it? He's been hacked. That's the last refuge of a scoundrel, saying your Twitter account has been hacked. All right. 844-500-4242. The bad news is Massachusetts had another 45,000 people file for unemployment this week. The good news is there are a lot of exciting spaces that are going to be created with these new grants from the pay-to-play Polito administration. And her boss, Spin Baker. That was a good Spin and Marty, Baker and Parker and Walsh. Spin and Marty, their wonderful adventures. 844-500-4242. Let's take a couple of calls. We got a lot of other stuff to get to here today, tonight before the show ends. Bruce, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hi, Howie. Thank you so much for taking my call. So I'm wondering, in all of this, what's going on right now, where are the conservatives? Where are the Republicans? I don't hear a word from anybody but the liberals. And is every conservative in America afraid to talk?
Yeah, I know. I don't understand it. It's as if the Republicans killed George Floyd. This guy was killed in a city that hasn't had a Republican mayor since 1974. This guy Fry is a radical leftist. The governor of Minnesota is as much of a moonbat as Charlie Parker. He's kept the state shut down. The nursing homes are 80% of the fatalities in Minnesota are in the nursing homes. He said there were going to be 74,000 deaths from coronavirus. There've been about 1,000. How is George Floyd's death the fault of Republicans? It's not. And they want to tear, they're tearing down all these statues. These statues are all Democrats. All Democrats. I don't get it either, Bruce. It's a recurring question. Where are the Republicans? They're spineless. You know, Pierre Delecto is unfortunately not unique among the grand old party. Matt, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Matt.
Howie, soft men create disasters, and disasters create hard times. It's what we're heading towards right now, is a massive disaster. But the Chaz in Seattle is now a point of interest on Google Maps. So they have a physical address, and they are now listed as a actual point of interest or business on Google. So you could put in your GPS and actually go there.
And as a business?
A page and all.
Monkey business.
As a business. Yep. And that takes there's requirements. I'm in the online travel industry, so there's requirements that you have to enter to be able to be published on Google. You can't just go ahead and do that, and it has to be physical address and an active point of interest or business. And so it's published. You can go on there and see for yourself.
Yeah. Taylor, would you describe the warlord as a misogynist?
I can't say I really know him that well.
No, but I mean from the tweets.
It seems they were probably more homophobic than anything else.
Homophobic? You're kidding. An aspiring rapper? Homophobic? Is this possible? What about the big tent Democrat coalition? He doesn't celebrate diversity? Is that what you're telling me, Taylor? I can't believe that. Tug, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tug.
Hey, Howie. With respect to the unemployment, our police blotter this week in my hometown next to yours said there were 52 complaints to the police department about identity being stolen to file for unemployment benefits.
Wow.
What I called about was there was a iTeam report, I don't know if it might have been Channel 4, about a proposal to spend $400 million to renovate the old soldiers' homes in Chelsea and Holyoke where all those people died, and the VA was going to pick up half of it, and it was going to, among other things, provide the ability to isolate people when they had contagious diseases, and the state turned their nose up at the $200 million they would have to pay, but we can spend $1.5 to $1.8 billion a year on illegal aliens.
Right. I think it's more than that now. That's what it was when Jim Lyons held up all the business in the State House. That was like 7-8 years ago. It's got to be over $2 billion now. So they had an opportunity to fix the soldiers' homes, and they didn't want the matching money because they had to put up $200 million. Is that what you're saying?
That's what the iTeam, I think it was Channel 4 that put the program on.
I'll have to check that out, Tug. Thank you. Thanks for giving me a heads up on that. We'll talk about Berkeley when we come back.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. If you haven't taken advantage of the offer yet, we have a Flag Day, Donald Trump birthday special. And here's our new T-shirt. It says Free America. It's red, white, and blue. It's an American flag with Free America across it. And it's a nice-looking T-shirt. And when you order Free America T-shirt in honor of Donald Trump's birthday and Flag Day, we will also send you a free copy of What Really Happened, How Donald J. Trump Saved America from Hillary Clinton. So you get the T-shirt and the book for one low price. And it's a great Father's Day gift. If you need something for that, or two great Father's Day gifts, the book and the T-shirt, freeamerica.com, go to howiecarshow.com and click on store, and you can order it right now. 844-500-4242. Here's what the warlord says. Someone is creating fake tweets from my page somehow. How do they do it? It hasn't happened since it happened to Joy Reid. 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Someone is creating fake tweets from my page somehow.
Very fake tweets
that seem like they're from the past. And they're from my account somehow. Y'all are ridiculous. Thank you, Mr. Warlord. Y'all are ridiculous. All right. 844-500-4242. Yeah, you're right. I can't really read much of this stuff, can I?
I think you can say the word the and.
And y'all.
Yeah.
Say the word y'all. All right. 844-500-4242. 508 says, I'm shocked. I thought for sure that Chaz would have been hoisting a rainbow flag on Flag Day. Yeah, well, just one of those things. Don't be too disappointed.
He's a good boy. A very good boy.
That's right. That's right. Thanks, Mom. Starbucks bans employees from wearing anything in support of Black Lives Matter. An internal memo sent to Starbucks employees last week specifically warned staffers against wearing accessories or clothes bearing messages in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. The memo, obtained by BuzzFeed News, reminds staffers that such messages are prohibited under the company's policy against accessories that, quote, advocated a political, religious, or personal issue. Numerous employees told the news outlet, however, that the company regularly allows or even encourages employees to wear pins in support of LGBTQ equality, especially during Pride Month every June. So they're gonna get some blowback now, I'm sure. Starbucks. No wonder Howard Schultz wasn't going anywhere as a presidential candidate. He wasn't woke enough, obviously. I know he doesn't run the company anymore, but he started it. 844-500-4242. I just want to say I really feel bad for the Berklee College of Music Police Department, because they're taking a lot of crap from the BPD about this stupid letter that the president of the lame duck president of Berklee sent out about saying that they weren't going to allow the Boston Police Department to use the restrooms anymore at Berklee, because it was perpetuating feelings of oppression, silencing, and marginalization. So one student put out an Instagram on the cops going into the bathroom. And these were cops that were standing guard over the campus buildings. And they apparently have more than 20 campus buildings. They run all the way from down near the finish line of the marathon on Boylston Street, all the way down to the Fenway, to Hemingway and Ipswich Streets. And a lot of the buildings got vandalized during the riots. I guess one of the buildings on Boylston Street, they knocked out some windows. They sprayed graffiti on a couple of the buildings in the Fenway, and there's a lot of crime in that area. They're only a mile from Methadone Mile. There's homeless people all over the place, and they rely on the Boston Police Department to help them out. There's only 20 of them, and now you know their name is mud, as they say, among the Boston Police Department, because they're just naturally being blamed because of this stupid letter. And this is what the president said at his last line about letting Boston cops use the bathrooms. Let us assure you, this should not have happened, and going forward it will not happen again. And the ironic thing is, I found this out today, the cops that were using the bathroom, this was at the corner of Mass Ave and Boylston, they were members deployed from the sexual assault unit of the Boston Police Department, the sexual assault unit. Now, the irony of that is that Berklee College of Music has had to fire at least 11 members of the faculty in the last 12, 13 years because of rampant sexual harassment, groping people, getting women drunk and forcing them to have sex, dragging them into public bathrooms. And then they talk about this. We are deeply sorry for the impact this has had on our community and for perpetuating feelings of oppression, silencing, and marginalization. Silencing. I don't know what that word means in this context. But when the female students sued Berklee, and a number of them have sued Berklee for this grotesque atmosphere, it's like NBC News. or CNN, they're treated so badly, or Senator Ted Kennedy's office. And when they settled, they had to sign agreements not to speak, agreements to be silent. So I guess you could say Roger Brown was for silencing the students before he was against silencing the students. This is ridiculous, though. And so now they have to deal with this problem, and they dragged in they threw the police chief of the Berkeley PD under the bus, David Ransom. He's apparently a former El Paso, Texas cop, and he's just been kind of humiliated. It took him 10 days to write this letter. It's about like 300, 400 words long, and they just kept rewriting it and rewriting it and rewriting it and trying to make it as groveling as possible, and they certainly succeeded in making it groveling. So you can't let the cops in to relieve themselves, apparently, even if they're wearing a dress, even if they're transgender. 844-500-4242. Jackie, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jackie.
Hi, I'm glad to get on your show. Howie, you inspired me when you kept talking about the nursing homes and all of what's going on. I've been keeping my own little log of all the COVID numbers in Massachusetts and the USA. And I found, and I looked at not just how many deaths per day, but I looked at how many actual facilities had infectious cases. And it was really weird. On June 1st, there was 349. Yesterday, there was 364 facilities that had cases. Now, wait a minute. Didn't this start in Washington on January 1st? We know these places are kind of dangerous, and we should be protecting them. That's a rise of 15 institutions in 10 days that got infections.
I know, Jackie. And what about the, you know, they're blaming the what happened at the Holyoke Soldiers Home, where I think there's 75 veterans dead and some of the staffers are dead. And they're blaming it all on the superintendent, who's a political appointee and a contributor to Baker and Polito. And he's produced, and they said he didn't tell them that they were having this problem at the nursing home. And he, until a certain date, and he produced emails that he had sent to the head of Veterans Affairs, Veterans Services, in the Baker-Polito administration a week earlier before they claimed they were notified. So, I mean, who's responsible here? You know? Here's one from a 617. I'm a home care nurse, and I did a telehealth visit with one of my patients whose mother is in a nursing home. She was crying because her mother was in a room with someone who developed COVID, so they moved her, and her new roommate just developed it as well. I told this patient just what you said. The governor is to blame, and all pay-to-play Polito can say is thank you. Baker and Polito have blood on their hands with this one, and it's completely disgusting and disgraceful. This is our greatest generation they just murdered. I mean, Marilyn Petito Devaney, she wasn't grandstanding when she said that. Her sister just died, and one of her other sisters is ill. And she wants to, and they're in nursing homes or assisted living, and she says, "What are you doing?" And all these people can do is go up there every morning or every afternoon and grandstand about the money they're bringing in. Tomorrow they'll be with Secretary Azar and talking about how they're studying the data with the folks and trying to do the right thing. And it's just BS. It's just they won't take responsibility. And we sent the guy down to Fall River to ask Baker, will he give the money back? And he didn't answer the question. It's just $52,000. And, you know, people attack me in social media, and they say, hey, he raised $8.5 million. What's $52,000? Well, if it's a drop in the bucket, let him give the money back. It's the least he can do. There, all these people are dead. Doug, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Doug.
Hey, Carr. How you doing, Howie?
Good.
Hey, I got two things. The first one is, the driver's going down the road. I'm a truck driver. Hey, you see a cop on the side of the road keeping us safe, hit your air horn and put your big thumb out the window and give him a thumbs up and let him know we support him. And I just think that's important at this time.
That is, hey, you know what, Doug, I hadn't thought about that, but you're absolutely right. Go ahead.
And maybe four-wheelers, you do it too. The other thing I have, I'm not sure if you heard about this or not, my wife does home health care. I'm not going to tell you what state I'm from. I listen to you on iHeartRadio. And she came down infectious with COVID. Mm-hmm. I tested. I was negative. And so she had to isolate for 2 weeks, and they tested her again. And she was still positive. I was still negative. And this went on for four straight weeks. I mean, they need her to get out there and do her job.
Right.
So finally, after five positive tests, they told her, don't test anymore, because every time you test, it's a new positive result. And so I'm wondering, golly, how could we possibly have so many new test results that are positive? So or new infections.
Yeah, I tried to raise that point with the secretary. I said, the fact is we have more capacity than people want to get tests. So obviously some people have decided that the tests don't mean anything. Like, for instance, Doug, your wife, right?
Of course I'm right. And hey, let me tell you something. But I mean, every time she retested, they said it was a new case.
Yeah.
If you understand what I'm saying, she tested five times, and they're saying there's five new cases. Yeah, okay, so.
Yeah.
They're just acting like socialists. Why should we?
Yeah, the papers and the TV stations love that. 500 new people tested positive, but apparently Doug says five of them were his wife. Thanks for the call, Doug. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave. He's debonair. He's Howie Carr.
Hi, this is Cindy from Osterville, Massachusetts.
This is Brett Rock from Dunstable, Massachusetts.
This is Amy in Lisbon Falls, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
He's going down to Texas on Juneteenth, right? The first major massacre, literally speaking, of the Black Wall Street, right? Years ago.
Okay, Joe, whatever you say. 844-500-4242. Farmer John checking in from 860 area code. I've instituted a new policy here. Never trust a person who uses the word folks on a frequent basis. Yeah, the first person I ever noticed doing that was Barack Obama. And I instituted that policy back then. But I'd forgotten all about that policy, Farmer John. But it's definitely back with Charlie Parker. Abusing the word folks, it's definitely a sign of low character. Never trust someone who calls you, who says folks that often. 844-500-4242. Thomas, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Thomas.
Hey, Howie, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey, man, we all knew from the data from China, the data from Italy, that this thing affected old people the most, group homes the most, and why didn't we focus on that and let everybody else go to work?
I agree. That's the question that they can't answer, and they just don't even get asked it enough, do they?
No, look at Charlie Parker. He's like, he's acting like he's...
He comes out with these numbers every day, how many people took the test. I mean, what the hell does that prove? And then Karen Polito talking about the exciting spaces. She's got a space between her ears. I don't know how exciting it is, considering how inarticulate she is. But they just keep talking about these things that don't affect what's happening. I mean, you got to open up the state. God, people go into Boston that haven't been there for a while, and I'm going to be one of them very shortly, and they tell me they can't believe how deserted it is. And now after the rioting, you have not only deserted streets, nobody walking around, nobody working downtown. Now everything's boarded up. Do they think they're really successful? Do they really believe that they have an 80% favorability rating, whether it's Baker or Walsh? I don't think so. Thanks for the call, Thomas. Bruce, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, Howie. How are you today?
Good.
Yeah, so I'm working tonight. Fortunately, I'm working down on Washington Street in Boston. And like you said, dude, it looks like it's like a demilitarized zone. I feel like I'm at a real hellhole. Everything's all boarded up with particle board, plywood. And I had a hard time finding my address because the building that I'm working at is all boarded up. But the point I wanted to get to, maybe you might have heard about it, but out in California, my buddy called me up. He lives outside of L.A. That the Hell's Angels and the Mongols, they've been putting the boots to the Black Lives Matter and all those other crazy terrorists.
Really? No, I hadn't heard that. But again, I've seen pictures of the showdowns between the looters and some of the Latin gang members in Chicago. They're just saying, you're not coming into this neighborhood and wrecking it and burning it down and looting it. And it's not going to be tolerated for long. There is going to be a backlash. People are going to defend their property. They're going to defend their families. They're going to defend their lives. And I don't just mean their physical lives. I mean their livelihoods and the way they live. Some warlord is not going to destroy that. I'm Howie Carr.